They're going to end up printing a load more money. And that's why the pound is a bad place to store any of your value.
Making the theme of a Bitcoin conference about stable coins is a mess.
Stable coins.
I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of our clients down here, and it's been a blast. I've gotten to talk to some really interesting people. Our partners are fantastic. I mean, really people dedicated to self-sovereignty.
The reality that you're facing is a really horrendous one. And if you just sit and hoping it's just going to disappear miraculously, well, you know, that's going to be a sight you are never going to forget.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony with me. Gents, my voice is shot from the conference. It's loud everywhere, so I feel like I'm yelling at people all the time. But thanks for being here, guys. We're going to jump right into the news. Up first, we have interest on UK government debt looks ready to break out to the upside. Brace for a crash of the British pound. This is Tur de Meester. And he says, if demand for British government debt plummets, that means the only potential buyer is the Bank of England with loads of newly printed pounds, hence the link between these two things. So we're seeing this everywhere, but the UK is particularly funny. I'm going to jump to our next story because the irony here, of course, is Saylor had said, you know, in the past, the first country to print fiat to buy Bitcoin wins. The UK printed 133 million pounds of annual foreign aid money and sent it to Pakistan. And then Pakistan announced that they're buying Bitcoin. So crazy times. The UK has been backwards for a long time. Rick, I'm going to let you take this first since this is a place near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? I mean, it seems like every week now there's another news story out of the UK that suggests things are not going particularly well. The answer to all of this is always going to be the same, isn't it? They're going to end up printing a load more money. And that's why the pound is a bad place to store any of your value. And I mean, look, you know, that's true of everywhere, right? So before anyone starts doing like victory laps thinking, oh, well, yeah, dollars are okay and the UK is in trouble and the US isn't, that's a mistake as well. It's actually almost miraculously, the US dollar has been underperforming the pound recently. So, you know, the dollar is particularly weak at the moment. So it's easy to focus in on the UK, but I would encourage people to zoom out, and this is going to happen everywhere. But the UK has a bit of form here, right? Like, you guys might not know this, but we had a prime minister called Gordon Brown of the Labour Party, like, you know, a good few years ago now, but he sold off basically all of the UK's gold at record low prices, right? So we seem to have a habit of just wanting to give our wealth away. And this thing with Pakistan is just, it's just bonkers, right? Like, we send them money, it's meant to be aid money, right? And then the guy's on stage saying, oh, now we're going to open a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And look, I doubt you guys pay as much attention as I do to like what's going on in the Bitcoin space, specifically in the UK. But every time anyone tries to lobby the UK government or suggest they look at Bitcoin, they just keep, you know, flatly just ruling it out as it's too speculative, it's too risky. I mean, basically, they've done no research. They don't understand it at all. I mean, it's crazy clown world over here, right? Like, our Chancellor of the Exchequer, right? She got caught lying to the whole nation because she claimed that she was an economist at a major bank, right? And it turned out later on that actually she like worked in customer service or something. It was just like making it up that she's an economist. So listen, you know, you vote these kind of people in, this is the result you get. It seems like we're on a trajectory to give away as much money as possible, print as much money as possible, and end up with zero Bitcoin. So, I mean, look, I don't worry too much about it, right? Like, I am not my government and I am not my nation. So they can give all their money away and they can ignore Bitcoin. But as a private individual, I don't have to go down with the ship, right? I don't have to suddenly go, okay, yeah, I'll start sending my money to Pakistan to help their treasury as well. And everybody in the UK, right? Like, if you're listening, like, don't let it get you too depressed because it's going to happen everywhere. Just take the signal now. Like, we're cooked, right? So you need to get out of pounds. You need to get into Bitcoin. You can start doing that today and you can save yourself. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. It's absolutely nuts.
Rick, I agree with just about everything you said, but you said that they haven't done the research. They clearly don't understand Bitcoin. I wonder if the opposite is true and they completely understand Bitcoin and they're desperately trying to avoid, you know, a Bitcoin future. I don't know. Tell me, what do you think about that?
What you're witnessing now is the UK version of Lebanon in real time. This is exactly how it played out. And this is exactly how it's going to play out in the UK. This is the end. You know, when I said there was a collapse happening, this is exactly what happens. And all those clowns in power, they know it's a dead end, but they're going to take everybody down with them. That's exactly what happened in Beirut, even though all the analysts and all the advisors, were ringing the alarms about this and that. The country had no electricity. You know, there was tons of problems. Yet all the good advice was ignored one by one. And the exact same thing seems to be happening in the UK. Next is your money. Expected to either be, you're going to be locked out of it, or they're going to hyperinflate it to a point where they might as well just have taken it because it's worth nothing. It's very sad to see, man, but this is like you said, Rick, this is not isolated to the UK. So if you're smiling from the US thinking, haha, we're okay here, don't smile for too long because your turn is 100% coming. There's only one play here. There's no other option other than to opt out from the sinking ship. And the only other thing you have is Bitcoin in full self-custody. You have to learn this, whether you like it, don't like it, want to accept it or not. The reality that you're facing is a really horrendous one. And if you just sit and hoping it's just going to disappear miraculously, well, you know, that's going to be a sight you are never going to forget. So please, if you're still paying attention at least somewhat, you still have time. It's not a lot of time. But, you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I think, Rick, to your point, this is coming everywhere. What's sad to watch, though, is I feel like the UK is making all of the wrong decisions at the exact same time. And other places are kind of figuring bits and pieces out here. They're making other bad decisions, a couple of good decisions. You guys just seem on a fast track to like, it's just going to get ugly and messy. So I'm looking forward to the day that you message me and say, hey, here's my new pad and I'm not in the UK anymore. All righty, let's talk a little bit about the Bitcoin conference. So this is a video. This guy said, I learned so much about Bitcoin at the Bitcoin 2025 conference. Here's a summary of what I learned. Let's watch this video.
Stablecoin. Hopefully once we have stablecoins behind us, and I know this is a stablecoin panel, but stablecoins. Talked a lot about stablecoins. Dollar peg stablecoin.
Alrighty, so basically he learned stablecoins, and that's kind of been the talk of the conference. Just so many references to stablecoins, lots of different takes on it. We've got the suits are here, right? So we have lots of politicians. Tony, you've talked a lot about stablecoins, but I never think it's a bad idea to hear a refresher on your opinion. What do you think?
I don't know why they called it Bitcoin 2025. They should have called it Suits Las Vegas. You know, I mean, it would have been a more appropriate name for this event. But, you know, like everybody wanted the Wall Street boys to come into Bitcoin because they thought it was going to pump their bags, and they're all excited when the governments, were saying nice things about Bitcoin because now it's going to pump your bags, and everybody got all excited. And here we are at a Bitcoin conference where the grand theme is everything but Bitcoin. We're talking about TradFi services, we're talking about bonds, we're talking about stable coins, we're talking about all the legacy garbage. Except for the one pristine asset, which is Bitcoin, which is really sad and disappointing to see. I mean, if you're up for entertainment and a circus, fantastic, man. I'm sure you had a great time. But if you were there to get some pure Bitcoin signal, I doubt that's what you're going to leave with. And what's even more disappointing is that the crowds going there thinking it's a Bitcoin conference, that's the impression they're going to leave with, that it's just, you know, like a wild circus with nothing new other than new TradFi services all over the place. Making the theme of a Bitcoin conference about stable coins is a mess. I mean, stable coins, we've said this 100 times. If you think this is good news, you're crazy. These are central bank digital currencies marketed as something cool and easier to use and fun for you to hold. You don't have to rack your brain about it. But just know that these can be switched off at any second. This is a central bank digital currency in disguise 100%. Don't let the marketing and the sweet talk fool you. So for me, this is not good. I mean, but then again, you know, you want to invite the world into Bitcoin. Well, you know, that's what you get. Hopefully there's enough people with common sense there that still adhere to the Bitcoin ethos and principles that can still push, you know, this revolution forward the way it's intended. Stable coins are not it. TradFi games and services are not it. Bitcoin was here to replace all of this. It wasn't put into place to play along with them or to invite their services on top of Bitcoin. That's not what it was for. But, you know, that takes education and, you know, and willingness to learn something new, which seems to be a struggle for most people, sadly. But, you know, the money printing is still going to go on. And so sooner or later, whether you like it or not, you're going to be forced to be making a hard decision. So you either make it now while it's still, you know, pretty comfortable, or you make it later when you're like stuck against the wall.
Yeah, so I think it was maybe J.D. Vance's speech. He was talking about, you know, like the stable coin. I don't know why he started talking about stable coins all of a sudden. He said stable coins, you know, don't threaten the dollar. They're going to strengthen the dollar. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, it's an extension of the dollar. It makes dollars more accessible and easier and more globally distributed. They're going to buy the debt. Of course, no one's making the claim that stable coins weaken the dollar. Bitcoin threatens the dollar, but that's a very different conversation to have, and no one's talking about that. And just to be clear, this is a funny video. There is a ton of noise here, tons of noise. There are some good topics, good speakers. There's some principled people. Our friend Daniel White's here. He's talking about the importance of self-custody at his booth and telling people how to, you know, properly record their seed phrase. So there are good things happening, but yes, a ton of noise. Rick, what's your take? From afar, what do you think of the Bitcoin Conference 2025?
Oh, man, well, I don't know. I'm a little disappointed I didn't spend $2,500 on a conference ticket so that I could get a free cheese sandwich, a bag of Lay's chips, and sit there and listen to politicians talk about crypto and stablecoin for hours on end.
You're missing out, man.
You know, there will be great people there and all that sort of stuff. Maybe I'm a little butthurt, right? Because my job is to write the newsletter for the Bitcoin Way every week. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this week will be all right because loads of people will be making interesting speeches and there'll be stuff to talk about. And I am trying to wade my way through this content. And it's honestly hard to stay awake. It's so painful. I have, you know, me personally, no interest in stable coins whatsoever. You know, when we started this, the whole point is to get away from the dollar. It's a failed, broken currency. And whether that's in a form printed by the Fed or in some synthetic form as a stable coin is still just not remotely interesting to me, right? So, it's interesting that the suits are sort of pushing that agenda. I've also seen there was one guy on stage who said something about like, oh, now that we have all these financial products, we can get rid of this not your keys, not your coins narrative and all that sort of stuff. So you can feel it. You can feel, yeah, it's wild, right? And you can feel the difference now. Like Tony said, there's Bitcoin bonds, there's, you know, Bitcoin proxy stocks, there's all of these things being pushed at people that aren't really Bitcoin. So for me so far, and look, you know, this video is going out, we're recording this ahead of a load of speeches, right? So there might be annoyingly loads of interesting stuff that happens after we've recorded this. But so far, I feel like the signal has been low and the noise has been really, really high. And I do think some people are going to get misled, like Bitcoin bonds. Why would you buy a Bitcoin bond and not just buy Bitcoin, right? The crazy thing is most people are going to try and outperform Bitcoin with all of these financial products, and they're going to give up all their sovereignty. They're going to take on a load of counterparty risk. And that means at the end of the day, someone's going to get left holding the bag. Because if we move to a Bitcoin standard and Bitcoin is the money, it's the tool that measures all value in the world, you can just skip all of this nonsense in the middle and grow your wealth by just buying and saving Bitcoin. Now, look, I don't have a crystal ball and no one does. Maybe all these MicroStrategy people are going to outperform me by 500% in the next 12, 24 months. You know, maybe. But I was never a speculator or a gambler. That's not what got me into Bitcoin. What I'm looking for is a sound money where when I do some work and exchange some of my time, I can store that value in a currency that won't be debased or ripped off or stolen. So I'm willing to give up all of this risk and speculation that all these people are doing in the middle with MicroStrategy because, hey, egg on my face in 5 years if those guys have become fabulously wealthy and perform much better than I have. But there's one thing that makes me stick to Bitcoin, and that is I don't know if those guys are still going to be here in 5 or 10 years. I don't know if they're going to get wrecked or blown out, but I do know they've taken on more risk than I am. So I'd rather, you know, be sensible, be a little bit boring, and just stack my Bitcoin slowly but surely, knowing it will go up in purchasing power and knowing that it can't be debased. All this stuff in the middle is just a variety of different ways that you might get wrecked. So yeah, I think try and find the signal.
Yeah, I think your observation's spot on. The one thing I will say, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of our clients down here, and it's been a blast. I've gotten to talk to some really interesting people. Our partners are fantastic. I mean, really people dedicated to self-sovereignty. And so for all of the noise, there really are some good people. And we just like the kindest people, you know, like our clients are just amazing. So it's been a blast getting to put faces with names in that along the way. Okay, up next, we've got yesterday, or well, it'll be a few days, 2-3 days prior when this goes out, but the Guinness World Record for most Bitcoin payments in one day has been broken. So over 4,000 Bitcoin transactions in a single day. Tony, you astutely pointed me to the mempool this morning. So we set the record yesterday. And what was your observation about what's going on now?
They definitely stuck to their word, you know, most payments in one day, because the next day, the mempool was dry, which is pathetic, you know. Like, I mean, I hate when I wake up and I look at a mempool that's dead. It's because people are forgetting that Bitcoin is money. Like, you don't need a special occasion to use Bitcoin. You use it whenever you want, 24/7, 365 days a year, to buy whatever it is that you're looking for. Sure, sometimes depending where you live, it's going to take you a few hoops to go from point A to point B. But it is doable. There are thousands of people around the globe right now using money to live, not as a speculation to get rich. So the money factor of Bitcoin is what's giving its store of value its value. If it wasn't for that, the store of value thing would get co-opted and the whole thing would fail. This is why it's important not to forget that Bitcoin is money. It has to be used as money for it to succeed. You can't pick and choose the parts of Bitcoin that suits you best and just leave the other part to somebody else. It's not the way it works. You know, the store of value medium of exchange unit account, it's a synergistic wheel. They have to work together for all the value to go up. It's not like, oh, I like this, but not that, so I'll let somebody else deal with it. You know, that's wrong, and it's going to lead to a very bad place. So Bitcoin has money, man. Use it, use it, use it every single day with every opportunity you can, because the more you use it as money, the more you incentivize businesses to accept it, the faster the adoption grows, the higher your store of value's purchasing power becomes. So if that's what you want, you need to do your part.
Tony, I caught almost everything you said, completely agree. And you'll be happy to know. So I got you a signed copy of Larry Lippard's book. I paid on chain, so I was contributing to filling up the mempool. Rick, what are your thoughts on this world record?
Yeah, I like it. I like the ambition, you know, and I like people sort of trying to push that agenda of like, you can just use Bitcoin as money. That's kind of the whole point. But maybe I'm a bit confused. I assumed they were doing this over Lightning. Was it all main chain, on-chain transactions then that they were doing?
No, I think it was Lightning.
Okay, so it's hard. I'm not sure how they track it. It's an interesting little project, but yeah, I love to see that. And I think, like, were they not? They were giving out like cards to people preloaded with some sats so that they could just go around and made it easy for people. And I think something happens. I've seen it in a few people when they spend Bitcoin for the first time. You know, they go to a stand, they beep their card or something, the transaction happens in a few seconds, and then they walk off with a physical item like a t-shirt or a hat or something. It does do something to your mentality around like what Bitcoin is, how you can use it, and all that sort of thing. I just love to see this number get like a lot bigger, right? Because, hey, look, 4,000 transactions in a day is amazing. But, you know, if we put it into perspective a little bit, that's still pretty small, right? Let's be honest. You know, think of how many e-commerce transactions happen every 10 minutes. It must be an unfathomable number. So, yeah, you know, hopefully in the next couple of years to see someone launch something that can do like some serious numbers. I think what we really need, we just need someone to come up with a killer app that everybody wants to use and start buying things with Lightning Bitcoin, because it's possible, you know, like you can find all sorts of apps where you can integrate Lightning like really quite easily. There's companies making that easy for you with plugins and all sorts. So, man, I think actually rather than a campaign, so someone just needs to offer something really interesting and then people will use it as money.
Yeah, well, what's great is that a lot of these big merchants now are starting to accept it. Like you've got this Stake and Shake chain. You've got Square now accepting Bitcoin payments. You know, like there's a lot more of these guys finally, you know, making it as a, you know, medium of exchange option for your retailers to come in and spend. That's going to grow adoption, you know, like, I mean, and I'm very excited for this. But for the regular folk that goes to a conference and only talks about the store of value, it's because they're still thinking in dollars or euros or whatever fiat currency. They have absolutely zero concept of what it is that they're holding and why they're holding it, that it's not to make you fiat rich. This is to make you break free from a life of slavery that you are obviously still oblivious about. So hopefully that changes, man. I remain optimistic. I mean, you know, we live on a Bitcoin standard. We know tons of people that do it every day we meet and, you know, help folks, you know, get onto this bandwagon, and people seem to be very happy and comfortable doing it. So I'm very bullish on this.
By the way, for anyone watching, like Michael's reception has gone down the pan again. So he's been kicked out. Anyway,
he's been captured.
Man, he's too busy trying to buy some XRP or something, right? So look, me and Tony, why don't we just wing it, man? And he can't police what we say. We'll move on to the next story and see if he actually shows up again.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Because we're almost there. What was that? Hang on. I've got to go and look at our notes now. Like, what's the next topic? Oh, okay. So is this video, if you're a fan of really high quality choreography, you're really going to enjoy this piece. Let's take a look at some of the excellent dancing that's been on show at the Bitcoin Conference 2025.
21 cows have taken over the Bitcoin Conference. Hey! Let's go. Stake and Shake.
All right, Tony. So what do you think, man? We got to see some udders shaking around. Like, is this the kind of thing? Are you disappointed you're not there to see it?
Come on, man. This is Las Vegas. Entertainment is the first thing I'd expect to see over there, you know? So look, I mean, you wanna see global adoption. Well, you know, this is the world for you. You know, we expect people to be of a certain, you know, form, right? To the certain ethics and mindset and behavior. But, you know, when with global adoption, you have everything, the good, the bad, and, well, that. So I don't see it as a bad thing. I mean, it's a bit silly, right? Because you expect people to take the whole Bitcoin thing a little bit more seriously. But keep in mind, this is a steakhouse. And for them, this is like brand new. Like for them, this just landed from outer space into their lap. And now they're so excited because it just blew up. And a lot of people have been coming to the restaurants and spending Bitcoin. So they, in their heads, they're making a killing. And of course, you know, they have to put on a show and celebrate it. So that's what we're seeing, the celebration of a restaurant. So it's good, man. I mean, if people are happy, it's definitely not bad, right? But, you know, you sort of have to adjust your expectations that Normieville doesn't necessarily think like you and I do. And that's okay, you know? Like, I mean, Bitcoin's for everyone.
Oh, man, listen, I would have been there dancing with them, right? Like, I love it. But one thing I will say, and it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, right, is I've lived through a few Bitcoin cycles in the past, and every cycle, right, there has been one moment that when you look back in hindsight, like marked the top of a cycle. I think in 2021, it might have been like Katy Perry had painted loads of crypto coins on her nails or something. There's always one thing where when you look back in hindsight, you go, damn, it was obvious we were due one. And sometimes looking at this specific conference, I'm seeing cows dancing around. I'm seeing guys getting cheese sandwiches, even though they spent $2,000 on a ticket. And guys talking about stable coins, I'm thinking, oh man, if I wasn't so bullish, I mean, I'm permanently bullish on Bitcoin, right? So like, I'm not suggesting I'm going to try and trade it or sell it or anything. But yeah, some of that stuff just makes my ass twitch just a little bit and think, oh God, we're not due a big bear market, are we? But time will tell.
I don't know if this is like, you know, like US focused themes, because you don't tend to see this type of behavior on the European conferences, at least none that I've seen. I could be wrong, but none that I've been to, you know, have this craziness. That's what I'm saying. I think maybe it's a Las Vegas thing. But again, you know, there's no such thing as bad advertising to Bitcoin. As long as people are happy using it, it's a win. And they will use it, you know, whichever way makes sense for them. And, you know eventually, hopefully, you know, they find their way to proper self-custody and not get, you know, duped or distracted by all these fiat games, because that's really all they are distractions. Because these people, they know that the masses understand nothing. So it's like, you know, they take advantage of this ignorance and they try to sway the herd, you know, in their direction. Well, I don't know I don't know how well it goes, but, you know, time will tell.
But, you know, I kind of love it, right? One thing I would say that is a big win for the Americans is they have a really positive attitude. It's actually quite...
Yeah, sure.
Man, come to the UK, right? Like, nobody's dancing in the UK. Everyone's miserable and all that. So, genuinely, I'd rather get in a cow suit and dance around with some overexcited Americans. That's fun. But, hey, listen, I think that's us for the day. I don't think Michael's coming back. I think he's a few shots deep somewhere in Las Vegas now. We may never see him again. But the good news is you're going to get to see him once more, because we put together a brand new outro for the show where you can see Michael again. And listen, let us know in the comments if you really like the outro. Maybe we'll just automate Michael out of the show altogether, right? If he can't get this internet sorted. So listen, thanks again for watching. Tony, it's been a pleasure. And Michael, hopefully we see you again, man.
Likewise, Rick. Catch you guys next time.
Okay, see ya.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.